Turn your Bibles anywhere, it's all good. Turn over to Philippians. Flip over to Philippians. Hey, Brother Jeff, good to see you. Tom? Well, it's all right. I'm coming home here. It's been 5 or 6 years. I don't know how long since I've been here, but it's been a while. And people get older, that's what I've seen. This little Watton boy, he grew up. Hugh grew up. You know, I'm looking here and it says, looking for the blessed hope. When I seen that last bus come in, that's what I was thinking about. They're the hope of the future. You know, that's the blessed hope right there. And I come in here and I see some people that used to be elementary and now are adults and serving God. I get excited. I like coming here. This is a great place to come. This is encouraging. Bonnie, wave your little hand. She is the Holy Spirit of the car, folks. If Mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So we're thankful that we're able to be here. Now, David, if you haven't found Philippians yet, you go to Galatians, and then you think, Gentiles eat pork chops, and the P is Philippians, okay? Gentiles eat pork chops. That'll help you out. I was talking to him yesterday afternoon. I said, how's your brother doing? He's good. And I said, you imagine he'll be preaching up a storm tomorrow? He said, I imagine. So it was nice to be able to turn around and poke at him a little bit and lie to him like that. So he's used to it. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Philippians, I tell you, we have been on a roll. We've just finished up a missions conference. We had 7 folks saved at the missions conference, and we've just been really a steady diet of the supernatural. We really have. God has blessed us so much in so many ways. I've always been a little envious of Brother Ross here and his grandkids all over, you know. But we're getting that way. We got in our home church up in Midland, we've got 7 grandbabies on the ground and 1 in the oven. The newest one just popped out, last week. His name is William Silas Branscombe. Candace, our youngest daughter, she's married to an engineer, but he got his heart right, and he surrendered to be a missionary. And they're going to Asia. Oh, they'll be here eventually, brother. You can count on that. They will be here. My heart was stirred with the testimony of this email just a minute ago. You know, you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, okay, Lord, what are you going to, take this young couple's child to prepare them to go to India where 10,000 people die every night? Is that, I mean, you don't want to see that, but you know that sometime the Lord knows best, and I'm not wishing that for this couple. I just know that that's what happens sometimes. He puts us through the test so that, you know, some of you gals have already got maybe babies that never left the womb breathing, and those babies are in heaven. We know that. And because you went through that, you're a better servant to the lady that has just gone through it. I mean, that's how it works. And anyway, so we're happy to be here. Of course, we're happy to be anywhere. And we're just, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you something practical. Something you take to the bank, something that I use. And he started talking about on prayer, and he was going to pray, and it just affirmed that this is what I need to do. I want you to look in Philippians there. That's page 1257 in the old Schofield, if you got one of those. But let's just read a minute. Oh, look in verse 8. Says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray. I'll look up here just a minute. There's a lot of people that'll teach a lot of places in the scriptures on prayer. This happens to be where I want to teach. I think it's very practical, works for me. There's people that can take about anything and try and teach on prayer, but here you got you know, Paul, our apostle, who's teaching on prayer. And it's a good place to be. I know the major denominational people, they'll go with Our Father Art in Heaven, and you'll find somebody that can take that thing and break it all the way down and make it nice and neat for today. But I'm not praying for the kingdom to come, folks. So I'm praying for the Lord to come. Amen. So this is going to fit. And what this fits for is every person, lost or saved. It'll fit every need. It's a very generic outline. And I want you to just mark, underline some words in a few minutes. And when a missionary comes through, or a person comes through, or even us, we say, pray for us. That's what we say. Pray for us. And you know, you see my little face, and you talk to my wife, and you know, for a few days, you might even remember to pray for us. But you know, after a while, we've gone off the scene, and don't tell me you don't forget, I'm 56. You know, and so you don't always remember everybody. And then when you do, how do you pray for them? What do you pray for? Well, this is an outline. This is a lesson that if you'll underline it and remember it, or use it, or mark the page, you can use it for anybody, anytime, anywhere, and it'll help you pray for somebody. Because even when you have somebody's picture in front of you, you know, take the average missionary, go, well, Lord, help the missionary, and Lord, help him in his health, and help his kids, and where do I go from there? You know, where do I go from there? You know, so this is going to, I like this, as you can tell, I'm running off at the head on this, but on let's look at verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." I want you to underline the word love, and put a little number 1 over top. It says, "And this I pray, that your love might abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Yeah, we sang some songs, we took an offering, read a Bible. That's about where we pray, isn't it? Isn't that what we do? That's what we do. Nothing wrong with the schedule, but there is something wrong with me praying and you just listening. I think you ought to pray with me. Why don't you ask God to give you something the next 25, 30 minutes so we can leave here fruitful. Let's make a prayer. So, Father, we look to you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you might cement this idea in our minds. Help us. Use me in Christ's name. Amen. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." Because Pastor Ross is sitting in the front row, I'll use him as a target. It's easy, and he can take it. He poked at me most of the night last night, so I can throw at him. But it says, "And this I pray, that your love might abound." Let's just say that you want to pray for your pastor. That'd be a good thing to do, or anybody else. But the first thing you do, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your missionary, whether it's your lost friend, whether it's your grandpa, you pray that his love might abound. First of all, his love needs to abound for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has got to stay in love with Jesus. That's the key to his ministry. If he doesn't love Jesus, he ain't going to love you. We know who and what you are, because I'm one of you, you know what I mean? But he loves you. It's not that he's that good. It's that Christ paid that much, and he knows that, and he's redeemed, and once you have that attitude of gratitude, of being saved, if you can stay in love with Christ by being thankful, you'll love others. So the reason you put number 1 there over love is it's the most important thing, that he fall in love with Jesus Christ. Let's just say that he was unsaved and he was just a man in your church. Well, then you would pray that he fall in love with Jesus. That he's never been in love with Jesus. He's not saved. Let's pray that he falls in love with Jesus. So if you're using this for a lost person, that's the way you use the word love, is that he, not only if he's saved, stay in love with Lord Jesus Christ, but if he's lost, fall in love with Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, Pastor Ross has to stay in love with his wife. Probably an easy task for him to do, but I'll tell you, some of these girls out there, no. the truth is, when you see somebody over in the church pew and you haven't seen his hand on her hand in 20 years, they're growing pretty cold, folks. A lot of indifference going on there. And you can do more than just sit and gawk. Pray for them. Pray that God would cause him to fall in love with her and her to fall in love with him. Church members, it's just a disaster. It's a disaster. So when you pray for somebody, you pray that they fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, because if they fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll love their wife. We're commanded to, but the fact is, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We've been married 38, coming on 39 years next month. No. She's right. I hate it when she's right. 38 next month. We got married and we were 9. But the fact is, we need to pray that we love our wives. When you see your children, you know, we're blessed in that area. Boy, are we blessed. The kids are doing so good. All of our children married to preachers. And preaching machines. Love God. Take care of my kids. Support me financially. You know? they love the Lord. They Hello, Jonathan. Good to see you. But that's all right. But he needs to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that verse that says, forgetting those things from behind? That's a continuous process. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, I just can't forget. I said, okay. You can't forget for a month. Just forget for today. And then get up tomorrow and forget it again. That's a whole sermon. You know that? Maybe I'll preach that sometime. But it's the truth. Couples, they start remembering past offenses. They make clubs out of them. And they beat each other with them. They do. And if that person will fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll love his wife. So he needs to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to stay in love with his wife. And he needs to love the book. But see, it's a progressive program. He has to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, or he won't love the book. I mean, the Bible, folks, the Bible, it's just it's it. It's everything you need to know. It's the Word of God. It's all your answers. It's all your solutions. It's all your wisdom. It's a hymn book, too. It's all about him. But we need to read it and understand it. So here in Philippians it says, in this I pray, that your love may abound. So whether it's your grandchild or your neighbor, you pray that their love might abound for Christ, for the book, for their family. You can teach this lesson, their kids, for whatever it is. Maybe you and your wife are not what you used to be. I mean, you're not supposed to be what you used to be. You don't need to go back to high school and googly eyes at each other. You know, but there's some things that still work. You know, I like to hold on to my wife's hand, amen? I mean, there's some things that still work. But as you pray for your mate, you can pray that they fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then maybe they'll fall back in love with you. That's how that works. Let's keep going. That your love may abound yet more and more, in knowledge and in all judgment. Underline the word judgment and put a number 2 there. Verse 10 says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. The judgment of a pastor is vital to a church. Amen? If he will stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, his judgment, as many as are led by the Spirit, are the sons of God. You want him led by the Spirit. There's 2 ways to make a decision. See, inside this fat 56-year-old body, that's, you know, this is muscle resting for the Olympics. But the fact is, there's a soul in here, okay? There's a soul in here, and you don't want to make judgments on your soul. See, your soul is your emotions, your feelings, but that's not what you want. You want to make a spirit decision, spirit-led, spirit-filled decision. Spirit-filled decisions come when you're close to Christ, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you stay in the book, you love the book, and you get good decisions. There's 10,000 decisions a week being made out here. Somebody better have the mind of Christ. So you pray that he fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ so that he might have good judgment. You don't want a pastor who's coming off with these hairball ideas that aren't of God. That's ruining not only the church and the checkbook, but everything else. You want him right on the right track. So how do you pray for your preacher? Open up the Philippians. Stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in love with the book. Stay in love with your wife, that he might have good judgment. And you can pray that for your wife. You can pray that for your lost. See, the same thing. A lost man still needs good judgment. I mean, as he's lost, he needs good judgment. So you pray that he have good judgment. Let's go on. Somebody was smart enough to pad this thing. All right. Probably some carpet guy. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that they may be sincere and without offense. Underline the 2 words without offense and put a number 3 over it. So we're praying that he falls in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, stays in love with the book, stays in love with his wife, that he has good judgment, makes good choices. And then we've underlined number 3, without offense. See that where it says that ye may be sincere? I read that when they would spin the clay pottery and they would mold the things with their thumbs, periodically they would get it a little thin in spots. And then when they put it in the oven to cook it, the thin spot would crack or put a little hole in it. And then it would have that offense there. And what they would do is they would, rather than remake the pottery, they would take some hot wax and fill the hole or fill the crack and paint over it. But the ones that didn't have an offense, the ones that had no cracks or public offenses, on the bottom of the pot, they'd turn it over and they'd stamp sincerest, and it would be set on the shelf. So as you came to buy your pottery, you looked for the one that said sincerest, and that's where the word comes from. So as your pastor stays in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and stays in love with the book and makes good judgment, his testimony, his character can be above reproach, and Blessed Hope Church can have a pastor who's without offense. Now we know deep down that he's a mess just like all of us, but he's a saved mess and a called mess and a God-honoring mess. Amen? And we love the pastor as he loves the Lord, as he makes God-honoring decisions, that he's without offense. Now carry this over to your mate. I don't want Bonnie to make crazy decisions, especially with my debit card. We have a Visa logo on the debit card. If there's no money in the account, the mercury stops. That's how it works. We don't have a credit card. We've never had a credit card. How do you get by? Just fine. When we come home, we don't have any of them little... Don't open them envelopes that have windows. We don't have any of those. We don't, because we don't charge anything. Just comes out. Yeah, you can operate that way. Have for quite some time. Wasn't that way when I got saved, though, was I? We won't go into that. But the fact is, see, as you pray that your wife, how do I pray for my wife? Well, open up the book. It says, pray that she stays in love with the Lord Jesus Christ so she can love you, you buzzard. So that she won't make bad decisions. So that she's without offense. You don't want your wife to be offensive to anybody. You know, there's men, there's gals that their tongue is like a sword. I mean, meanest member in your church. I mean, just a sword, you know. But the fact is, they don't have to be that way. They can be without offense. Every church has got somebody like that. A lady's picture just put up my mind. You know? Ooh, that wicked woman. No, she's a sweetheart, but she can say some things. She just doesn't have any tact. And if I pray for her at all, I would pray that she be without offense. And that's what you want. You want your children, you want your grandchildren, you want your pastor and his assistant, you want your missionaries as these people go out representing you. You want Brother Luke to be without offense. You want him to have good judgment. But he must stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he can stay in love with the book. So he can love his wife. That's the progression. That's the lesson. That's the way you pray for somebody. Now, when I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't have to use the facilities, you say, well, God wants you to pray. Who do you pray for? Well, I don't know how you do it, but I've been doing this a number of years. And if I taught this here before, you didn't get it then, I'll teach it again. I pray right here. The thumb is the closest thing to me. And when I wake up in the night, I don't always pray for the closest thing to me. See, the closest thing to me is my wife. Then my children, my grandchildren, my pastor, my relatives, my mom, my uncles, my aunts, my lost sisters. The next thing I pray for is the pointer. That's why I pray for you. I pray for people that point people to Christ. Missionaries, pastors, evangelists, buddies. People that point people to Christ. The next thing is the tallest one. That's why I pray for leaders. Pray for President Bush. By the way, his name is President Bush. You pray for the leaders, the colleges. And the ring finger, that's the weakest finger on your hand. Any pianist will tell you that. That's where you pray for weak marriages. That's where you pray for little kids with leukemia. And lastly, the smallest one is, that's where I pray for me. So this is what I've done for, I don't know, 5-6 years, I guess. Wake up in the night and, who should I pray for, Lord? And I don't even know if I even really move my hand. I really don't know. But as many as are led by the Spirit. I'm not talking about hocus pocus. I'm talking about God's Holy Spirit putting a name in your head from thinking off your hand. Need to pray for Jerry Ross right now. It's 3:00 in the morning. Pray for Jerry Ross. That's his name. Pray for Jerry Ross. Go back to sleep. He ain't going to keep me up that late. How do I pray for Jerry Ross? I pray for him that he stay in the Lord, love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that he has good judgment. That he's without offense. The testimony is above reproach. So regardless of who you wake up, how you wake up, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a prayer list. I have a prayer list on my laptop. I can't carry my laptop all over. I look at it all the time. I have most of it memorized. You know how you do. But you keep adding people. You go to 50 churches a year and see how list, what kind of list you end up with. Everybody's got a situation. And every one of them is so real. I don't take any of them lightly. When somebody sits there and they say, well, I'll give you an example. 4 weeks ago, my first cousin, who's unsaved, owns a restaurant in Coleman, Michigan, 20 miles from where I live. He just retired trucker. Been divorced a couple times. I stop in and see him frequently when I'm in the area just to get reacquainted. I haven't seen him in years. He's my dad's sister's son, okay? Blood, first cousin. Grew up playing baseball, a little punk. So I'd stop in and see him, and of course they know I'm a preacher, and of course they know all that. And I'd go there, and we'd visit and talk, and he owns a restaurant. We're sitting there, and we're talking, and I'm there. Hey, I go to where they're at, folks. They're going to come to me. So I'm talking to Bradley, and 4 weeks ago he called me. He says, and I didn't recognize the voice. He said, "Mrs. Bradley." I said, "Hey, what can I do for you?" He said, I got a tumor in the front of my brain, and I got a tumor in the back of my brain. He said, a couple days ago, I didn't know who I was. I sat at the restaurant. I didn't know who the waitress was. And I didn't know where I was at. He said, they've had me in the hospital. He said, checking me out. He said, I go tomorrow morning for a biopsy. He said, I just thought maybe, and it just went silent. He said, I thought maybe I'd tell you. I said, so I could pray. Yeah. Couldn't say the word. He said, I think I'm a believer, though. I said, well, Bradley, we'll talk about that later. So I said, I'll come see you at the hospital. The biopsy was done at 6:30 in the morning. That requires you get up at 5 to make the trip to get to the hospital. What a great investment. I called my two brothers. One saved, Michael saved, Joe's not saved. They were both coming to town because my mother was having an 80th birthday party. We had a big party. Both my brothers went to the hospital to see him. I was there for the procedure. I had prayer with him before he went in. Of course, I preached, prayed at him, talked to him about being saved and all that. His daughter was there from North Carolina. She lives, did I tell you this? She lives 2 miles from Mike. From my saved brother, down in North Carolina. Tumor in the back, tumor in the front. 4 weeks ago, sent the biopsy to Mayo. I've called him at least once a week to say, how's it going? I've been praying for you. How's it going? I don't know. I don't know a thing. They ain't telling me nothing. Is it yesterday he called? Day four he calls me. He says, I wanted to call you. I'm leaving the doctor's office. I said, okay. He said, I came here expecting the worst, wanting the best. He said, the tumors are not cancerous, and they're not tumors. They're scar tissue from previous motorcycle accidents. He said, if they were tumors, they're not anymore. And if I had cancer, I don't have it anymore. I said, are you a believer? He said, hey, prayer, folks. Prayer works. Here's a man who's not saved. He's not saved. Oh, we're talking to him. And I'm not interested in leading him in a little prayer. I want to see a conversion. Let's move on. We've got to close. You've read number 3 where it says, without offense. Until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, underline fruits of righteousness, unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12 says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that things that have happened unto you are fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. You want your pastor, you want your wife, you want your grandchildren, you want everyone that you know to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ or fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might have good judgment, so they can be without offense. Why? The only fruits of righteousness there is the souls of men. Really, that's the fruit of your righteousness, the fruit. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto you are fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Why did my cousin have to think he had tumors? I'll tell you why. So the fruits of my righteousness. I believe in Bradley's going to get saved, folks. I really believe in it. But I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. But I love the Lord best I know how. I have a decent testimony. Got a great wife. But the fact is, the fruits of my righteousness can be the souls of men. So you pray for somebody else as the Lord brings them to your mind. Pray. They fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, stay in love with the book, that they might be without offense, that they make good decisions so that other people... But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things that happen unto you, all the things that happen to you, the good things and the bad things and the hard things, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things that happen unto you, unto me, I always put you in there, have fallen out rather under the furtherance in the gospel. That's what it's all about. Everything that happens to us, regardless of good or bad or indifferent, it's so that somebody else will get saved. That's, you say, you're pretty narrow-minded. That's exactly the way I see it. It's all about you and it's all about me that we can help somebody else get saved. And the fact is, I don't know how many times, I just finished preaching my aunt's funeral, Bonnie's aunt's funeral. Been a Mormon all her life. They called me 2 weeks before she was going to die. She had them call me. Her husband was saved. Had been in heaven now for 20 years. I preached her father's funeral. That woman was there. I preached her brother-in-law's funeral. I led him to Christ. That woman was there. I preached her other brother-in-law's funeral. I had led him to Christ. She was there. Now it's years later. The fruits of my righteousness and prayers. Maxine Bittler said, I want what you got. Here I am holding her. Bonnie's aunt, nice lady. Mormon. Trusting her good deeds, her good works. Wanting Christ. After all these years. Plenty of examples. Watched my girls around her. Knows the story and testimony of our family. Some of the times my testimony's not been without offense. I hate that. But if you can stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, make good judgments, good decisions, so you're without offense, there'll be some fruit for your righteousness. Why, she got saved. It was good. It was real good. I'll tell you, it was a whole lot easier to go to her funeral, preach her funeral. And here's what I preached. I preached, death is a decided fact. We're all going to die. Death is a defeated foe. Jesus rose again. And death can be a delightful friend if you're full of cancer and you know you're saved. That was the message. And as relatives, distant relatives, were being saved at the invitation time, I'll tell you what, I was over in the corner just having a ball. And I think it all stems from people like your pastor over here, this one, who prayed years ago. Well, I hope that Bolton guy gets saved. I hope he gets saved pretty soon. See, I am the fruit of His righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I've done my best this morning, and only Holy Spirit of God can cement this thought in Philippians to cause us to pray for one another, cause us to pray for each other, middle of the night, during the day, anywhere we're at, that we might have a testimony above reproach, that we might live for You. Lord, I pray in this next hour that we could enjoy ourselves, just worship Spirit and truth. I pray that You'd have free course, just free reign in the next hour. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for your attention.